Last week we thought about why it's important to gather together. Why do we meet together at all? And today we're thinking about hearing God's voice together. And particularly thinking about hearing God's voice in the preaching of his word, which as we'll see is the main place in the gathered assembly where God's voice is to be heard. On your sheets, you've got a quote at the top in a box that I'm going to get you to discuss in a moment. And we're going to start there thinking about how humanly weak preaching looks. And I think that's important because otherwise this might very quickly start sounding like me talking about why what I do is really important and why you all should listen to me. Please, please, if you take one thing away from today, please let it not be that. We're going to see why God has appointed preaching in his church. But we need to see that preaching isn't something that in and of itself is impressive. Quote on your handouts, turn in your tables, 3 minutes to discuss whether we resonate with the sentiment of this quote. I'm going to cut into our conversations there. Let's hear kind of one or two reflections from the room. Do we get what he's saying? Do we resonate with the sentiment of that quote? What people say in the groups? Yeah. Explain what you mean by that. Yeah, exactly. Humanly speaking, what we do on a Sunday looks very weak. One other reflection from the room. Us. Yeah. 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 Yeah, I don't think that's controversial, just for clarity. I think we'd all agree with that. But there's that first logical step of going, well, this book is something special, it's different. If we believe this is the word of God, of course it kind of makes sense. But humanly speaking, for the average person who walks past this building, the thought that eternities are being changed as this book is open, the average person who walks past isn't going to think that. We're saying Mr. Chappell, he's an evangelical, he thinks this is the word of God, and he wants to say preaching is hugely important. He wrote a whole book on it, he teaches on it. But preaching, humanly speaking, looks really weak. If you just look at, you know, if you imagine someone walking past on Sunday morning, kind of glancing into the building and seeing one person standing and reading words or explaining words from a book that's thousands of years old, and a lot of people listening, they'll think that looks pretty weak. Why do we start there as we dig into this? Well, I think in part to say, because I don't want anyone to be left with the impression that preaching is important because the humans who preach are important. That's not true at all. No, preaching is, humanly speaking, very weak. It is one person voicing thoughts from an ancient text, albeit a very special ancient text, as we'll see. But humanly speaking, it is really weak. And yet, remarkably, it is the way, the primary way in the gathered assembly that God has chosen to communicate. That's what we're going to see today. One other kind of thing just I think is helpful to clear the ground a little bit before we start thinking about this is that one of the really things I really love about being here is because I have a co-pastor and fellow elders, these words are just as true for me as a hearer as they are for me as a speaker. So I don't have to stand up here as the only person who preaches and says, preaching is really important. Now, what I love is that every Sunday pretty much that I'm here, I am hearing preaching as well. That's really good for my heart and my soul, so thank you to those who do that. It is good for all of us to hear God speak to us, and I don't see myself in any way as above that. Those things in place, let's dive into our material. First thing, we're going to see two basic things today. The first is much longer, the second is shorter. The first big thing, God speaks. The second thing, we listen. Macathon signs may have... No, they won't. God speaks, we listen. First big thing, God speaks. As we look at the Bible, we see time and time again that God is a God who speaks. In fact, you don't have to get off the first page to see that. What happens in Genesis 1? God speaks creation into existence. Genesis 1 could say, God thought we should have light, and there was light. God could have done it that way. It could say, God created light. God could have just said it that way. But no, God wants us to know that he is a God who speaks things into existence. From the very beginning, he is a communicator whose power is tied up in his word. That's what he wants us to know from Genesis 1. And you can trace this theme of God speaking all the way through Scripture. And if we had time, we could kind of dive into every single book of the Bible and see in different ways how God's speech is powerful and effective. One particularly place I think is quite notable is when you get to the middle chapters of Isaiah and kind of chapters 41 to 44, and what you get is a kind of this polemic against idols. And it's kind of God saying, this is how rubbish the idols are, and this is how great I am. What is one of the key things God wants us to know that is different between idols and gods? Idols can't talk, God speaks. Idols say nothing, God has the power to tell what's going to come. One of the most powerful things, one of the most distinct things about God that he wants us to know compared to idols is that he is one who speaks and his word has power. God is a God who speaks. And you get it in Hebrews 1, don't you? Those famous words at the beginning of Hebrews 1, let me just read those. So Hebrews 1, verse 1, in the past God spoke to our ancestors through the prophets at many times in various ways. Note God spoke. In these last days he has spoken to us by his Son. He speaks. He spoke. God is a God whose voice is really significant. God speaks. Time and time again, God speaks. He wants to build relationship with people. He wants to be in relationship with people. And the way he does that is by speaking. He speaks the universe into existence. And we're going to see he speaks every believer into new life. He is the God who speaks. First something under God speaks. God speaks through Scripture. God speaks through Scripture. And my guess is that's not controversial to anyone in this room. I imagine we all would go, yes, we believe that. God speaks through the Bible. But here's one thing that's really interesting. Turn to Hebrews chapter 3 with me briefly. So Hebrews chapter 3 is on page 1203. 1203. In Hebrews chapter 3, the writer to the Hebrews is speaking, and here's what he says, verse 7. As the Holy Spirit says. And then he goes on to quote the Old Testament. Notice that it doesn't say, as the Holy Spirit said. So here you've got the writer to the Hebrews in, I don't know, 70 AD, give or take. And you've got him writing a letter to people. Actually, probably more accurately, he's writing a sermon. That's how it kind of describes itself, an early sermon. And as he's speaking to people in 70 AD, he's saying the Holy Spirit is speaking present tense, and what he is saying is Psalm 95, which was written about 1,500 years earlier. The Holy Spirit says, today, if you hear his voice. That is to say, every time God's word is opened, God, by his Spirit, speaks. Present tense. Yes, his revelation is complete in the Hebrews 1 sense of he has spoken in his Son. There's nothing more to add. But when this book is opened, by his Spirit, he is speaking. Which makes sense because Ephesians 6, 17, the sword of the Spirit is the word of God. The Spirit authored this book. The Spirit preserved this book down the ages so that we have it, and the Spirit takes this book and applies it to the lives of individuals. As this book is opened, God's Spirit is speaking, present tense. I'm sure, I say, we'd all kind of affirm that and go, yes, the Spirit speaks through the word of God. The Bible tells us very clearly that, that is true. But I guess the question then comes, okay, so the Spirit speaks through the words, but there's loads of ways to get into this book, isn't there? So we could just sit at home and read it. We could come to church, but then everyone sits kind of by themselves and reads their Bibles just next to each other in a room. Or someone could come up the front and just read kind of whole books of the Bible Sunday by Sunday out loud. Or we could kind of come for one huge Bible study on a Sunday, or kind of smaller broken up Bible studies. The question then is, why preaching? Of all the different ways we could get into this book, why Sunday by Sunday in the gathered assembly do we have preaching particularly? And it's because God speaks through Scripture preached. That is not to say that is the only way he speaks. As if to say, when you're sitting reading your Bible at home, God isn't speaking. Of course he is. Please let none of this take away the importance of reading your Bible for yourself, because God speaks by his Spirit in those moments. But as the church gathers, there is something central, something significant about the word preached to us. Turn with me to 2 Timothy chapter 3. It's page 1196, if you've got a church Bible. Other page numbers or scrollings are available. 2 Timothy chapter 3. I'm going to read from verse 16 to chapter 4, verse 2. 2 Timothy 3:16 to 4, verse 2. All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. In the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who will judge the living and the dead, and in view of his appearing in his kingdom, I give you this charge: preach the word. Lots of us probably know 2 Timothy 3:16. It's the kind of verse that often becomes a bit of a memory verse, or the kind of thing you're taught when you're a child. The Bible's really important because it's breathed out by God. And that's true. And we apply that in lots of different ways. That's why it's good to read the Bible for yourself, and it is. It's why it's good to come to Bible studies, and it is. But it's striking, as Paul is writing to Timothy, and let's kind of frame that in kind of history. This is Paul at the end of his life. The apostles are kind of dying out. Timothy is the kind of first of the next generation who will take the message forward, particularly as kind of church leaders. As Paul says to Timothy, all Scripture is God-breathed, his application of that isn't, so set up some Bible study groups. It isn't, so read the word for yourself. Again, those things are important, but that isn't Paul's application here. Paul says, 2 Timothy 3:16, all Scripture is God-breathed, it's useful. And then he says, chapter 4, in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who will judge the living and the dead, and in view of his appearing in his kingdom, I give you this charge. What is the charge in the light of the power of the Scriptures and in light of the fact that Jesus is coming soon? Preach the word. Preaching really matters. And the reason preaching really matters is because of what is going on in that moment when preaching happens. I think you've got 1 Thessalonians 2 on your handouts. Is that right? Somebody give me a nod? Yeah, great. I don't. So 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13 gives us a sense of what is going on in the moment of preaching, and Ephesians 2 will help us again in a moment. Paul says, 1 Thessalonians 2, we thank God continually because when you received the word of God, which you heard from us, you accepted it, not as a human word, but it actually is the word of God. Do you see what Paul is saying in that moment? He is saying, when Paul preached, what they heard was not a human word. It was the word of God. They knew that what they were hearing was not Paul's word ultimately. It was human words. Oh, sorry, it wasn't Paul's words ultimately. It was God's words, not human words. It was something distinct. It was something special. They heard God's voice and they responded to it as God's voice. And it's made even clearer in Ephesians chapter 2. The same dynamic is there. Ephesians chapter 2, so Paul has been speaking about how Jesus takes Jews and Gentiles and he brings them together to be one people group, one new humanity. And then he says, chapter 2, verse 17, Jesus came and preached peace to you who are far away, and peace to you who are near. That is, those who are far away, Gentiles, those who are near, Jewish people. Paul says, Jesus preached to them. At which point, the obvious question is, when did Jesus go to Ephesus? Because nowhere in my Bible does Jesus go to Ephesus. Is this some kind of secret journey that Jesus went on that we're not told about? No, Jesus preached to them as Paul and others preached to them. That is what is going on at that point. Paul is saying as he spoke of Jesus, actually he wasn't so much speaking of Jesus. Jesus himself was speaking. That is what happens in the preaching moment. When people faithfully preach from God's word, Jesus speaks. That is to say, a sermon, rightly understood, isn't speech about God so much as it's speech by God. And I need to put a lot of caveats at that point because that can sound really problematic. So let's put some caveats in place. That is only true where it is faithful. So just by virtue of someone standing on a stage in a church somewhere and preaching doesn't inherently make it God speaking. But as they bind themselves to this book and what it says, God says in that moment, he speaks through the preacher. Jesus came and preached to those who were far off and those who were near. Jesus preaches through his preachers. That is how God has set it up. This idea is summarized probably most succinctly of all through a 16th century confession of faith, a kind of document of key doctrinal things that the church believed around the time of the Reformation. And it says this, it's on your handouts. The preaching of the word of God is the word of God. That's a kind of summary of what we've seen, but I send you into your groups. What thoughts, questions, or concerns does that statement raise? Go and discuss that for a few minutes.
I'm going to
cut into conversations there. Reflections from tables, thoughts, questions, concerns that statement raises. Yeah, in that moment, something like wonderful is happening. Great. Other thoughts, questions, concerns? Yeah, that way, then that way. That way. Yeah, definitely.
We did talk about how.
Yeah, I think those are really good questions. And it then. It puts you in if this is true, if this is what's happening as preaching is faithful, it means as a preacher, it's a really serious matter to stand in front of people. So I think of Luke 7, verse 8, which is not a verse about preaching in the slightest, but there's a centurion, and he speaks about what it's like to have authority, and he says, I myself am a man under authority with soldiers under me. He talks about his authority over soldiers. He says, I say go, and they go. I say, come, and they come. I say, do this, and they do it. And that is how the preacher ought to see themselves, not as the commander, but as the commanded. Does that make sense? So the preacher ought to be one who is, God is saying, say, and they say. But it is really easy to think this is my chance to say the things I want to say. And I'm sure many of us will be able to talk of stories, either in our own experience or the kind of things that we would have read, of times where the attitude that the person on stage has a special word from God turns pretty abusive and ugly very, very quickly. That is my concern with the statement. I think it's true. I think the Bible shows us that kind of dynamic. But it can very quickly become something that is kind of weaponized by a preacher so that they can say whatever they want to. So one of the really important things is it has to be the preaching of the word of God. So if you look at something, it doesn't say preaching is the word of God. It is preaching of the word of God is the word of God. That is, as someone stands up and faithfully preaches it, and it's part of our job to make sure that they are, God is speaking. And that's a wonderful and exciting thought, that Sunday by Sunday we hear our Father address us from heaven. That is one way of viewing what is going on in that moment. Our Father is speaking to us from heaven. And so a sermon ought not to be some interesting facts about a passage that I learned this week, or a history lesson of what was going on in this exact year, in this exact place. Some of those things may be relevant to understanding what is going on. It's not even that a sermon is aiming to help us to understand that passage a little bit better. No, the sermon is God speaking to us. And so we should expect something to happen. Do you expect Sunday by Sunday God to change you as he speaks to you? Because he says, He will. One of the other implications, I think, of that thought is for how we go about deciding what we preach and how we preach. So if you've been around here a while, you'll notice that predominantly on a Sunday morning, our main gathering of God's people, we recognize the afternoons are a bit different, but our main gathering of God's people, we take a book or a section of the book of the Bible, we go through it in order, and we try to say from each passage what we think the main thing God is saying is. The reason that's why we do what we do is because we believe that preaching is God's voice. So it's not up to me to kind of sit there on a Monday morning and go, I really fancy telling people about this on Sunday, so we'll go for this thing. No, the aim is to hear God speak, and so we take a bit of the Bible and we seek to make sure we understand what God is saying through it and bring that as a messenger to others. And we go through kind of bit by bit by bit of the same book, because as we do that, that helps us to understand what God is saying, and it stops us from skipping over the bits that God says that we don't want to maybe hear. God is speaking in the moment of preaching. But then the question, why preaching? Why does God not decide to do exactly this, but through Bible study? Or through an audible voice from heaven, or other things it could be? Why preaching? There's a quote on your handouts from a guy called Mark Thompson that I'm going to go read from here, so that I can't remember it. He says, preaching is not just a convenient strategy that we have adopted. Rather, it reflects the character of the Word of God. You might think, what does he mean by that? His point is there is something in the moment of preaching, in the way preaching is done, that communicates to us something of how God speaks and what God says. We try and unpack what he is trying to say there. What happens in the moment of preaching is that, bar the one person who is the mouthpiece in that moment, and they at other points are the listener, not the mouthpiece, bar that one person, everyone else is a recipient. And that's how the gospel works. In preaching, God speaks to us. We listen, we hear, we receive. And that is how the gospel works. God speaks to us. God always takes the initiative. And so there is something in the very act of preaching that communicates how God relates to people. He takes the initiative. He leads. He speaks. And so there is something going on in that model. That is why it's not just a convenient strategy. It's not just that we've gone, well, what's the most effective way to talk to the most people any given time, and so preaching works. Because if that was true, we could ditch preaching tomorrow if we decided there was a more effective strategy. No, God has set it up, and you see it through the scriptures, God has set it up that people are to preach. They are to preach the word. That's the charge to Timothy. I think part of that is because it communicates something about how God relates to us. That doesn't mean lots of things can't change. You want to preach in a way that is context-driven. So you think about who you're speaking to. The length of sermon, nowhere in Scripture does it mandate what that should be. There are, I think, some wisdom things that help work that out, but that isn't mandated. The kind of how much text do you take for any given sermon? Like how many verses do you look at a time? That's not mandated. All those things ought to change based on your context. But what is going on in the sermon is something distinct, something that God has ordained that he will speak in that moment. It means that the sermon isn't kind of the bit of church for people who quite like information and reading, and other bits are for people who like other things a bit more. Now, God has set it up so that preaching is a significant moment for all of God's people, which means we need to preach in a way that all of God's people can access. There is something special in that moment of preaching. That is what God says. Okay, so we thought that it's important that a singular voice speaks. That's what Thompson is saying, and I think he's right. But the next question you could ask is, why the middleman? So you could imagine a scenario where we could all come in on a Sunday, we all sit down in our seats, and a booming voice from heaven just kind of is piped in. God could do that. God could speak in every single church across the world on a Sunday by an audible voice simultaneously. That isn't outside of his power. But why does he not do that? Why does he choose to use a middleman? That is the pattern. So if you go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, is that on your handouts? I'd be way quicker if I just had a handout already, wouldn't it? We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. That is the dynamic in a sermon. God is making his appeal, but he chooses to do it through people. Or 1 Peter chapter 1, Peter speaking about how these believers became Christians. They've been born again through the living and enduring word of God. And it is the word that was preached to them. That's the pattern. God's word preached. That is how God sets it up. Not an audible voice normally, but a preacher, a human speaking God's words to other humans. And you might wonder why. And here I think Calvin is really helpful. Here's what Calvin, John Calvin, not Calvin Seymour, in case that wasn't obvious. Here's what Calvin has to say. He says, the moment of the sermon is the best and most useful exercise in humility. That it is a moment that tests our humility because he has set it up to accustom us to obey God's word, so kind of calls us to normally obey God's word, even though it be preached through men like us and sometimes but even by those of lower worth than we. He goes on, when a puny man risen from the dust speaks in God's name, at this point we best evidence our piety and obedience toward God. If we show ourselves teachable toward his minister, even though he excels us in nothing. There are a few things in that quote that I genuinely, and I mean this, I am more than happy for you to remind me of regularly. If you want to come up to me and remind me that I excel you in nothing and that I am a puny man risen from the dust, feel very free, it will be good for me. But what's the point of what Calvin is saying? He's saying the fact that we show ourselves willing to listen to another human and take what they say as something we ought to obey because they're saying it from God, that shows that we are humble before his word. If you heard a booming kind of miraculous voice and you obeyed it, okay, that still involves humility, but there's a kind of obvious recognition there that that voice is different from me. If someone else stands up and they are in no way, humanly speaking, more impressive than I am, and I'm still willing to listen to them, that shows that I am humble before God's word because they are speaking from God's word as long as they are doing so. That, I think, is why God sets it up that we hear his word through others. It humbles us. Sunday by Sunday, we are all humbled as someone who is no more impressive than us in any way stands up and proclaims God's words to us, and we take it as God's word where it accords with Scripture, and we do what they say. Where that happens, that is the most useful exercise in humility. We evidence our piety and our obedience towards God. God speaks through Scripture, preached. Pause there. Any questions before we move on to the much shorter half, we listen? Yes, Jonathan. Yeah, good question. In part because I think God has set up his church to have pastors. So he calls, he says, God, Ephesians 4, God has given pastors and teachers to his church. And I think because the shepherd knows their sheep. So you will very easily this afternoon be able to go away and find 17 people who have taught this material better than I have. You'll find it on YouTube, at least 17,000 maybe. It won't be hard, but God has set it up so that the shepherd who knows their sheep speaks to the sheep. So that is not to say don't go and listen to other Christian material online. Feel very, very free to do that. Be discerning in what you choose to listen to, because obviously there are some things out there that are not right and true. We're seeing that in Galatians. But I think the reason he set it up this way is because that way the shepherd talks to their sheep and the shepherd knows their sheep and knows what the sheep need. Any other questions? Thoughts? Yeah. Yeah. It does. Yeah. Yeah. And that's definitely true. And we're going to come to a bit more of that later today, also a bit more of that through the series. But you're totally right. Like, this is how God has set it up. God is very aware that we are sinners, both the hearer and the speaker. He still graciously chooses to use that. But it isn't that suddenly when I stand up here, I become infallible and sinless for half an hour and I step back down and become a sinner again. That is not how it works. I'll get things wrong up there. I'll misjudge things. I'll say things wrong. But insofar as in those moments we are faithful, God is speaking. God speaks through scripture preached. Second thing, much shorter, we listen. Luke chapter 8, verse 18. It's on your handouts. Let me read it. Luke 8, verse 18, just the first half of the verse. Therefore, consider carefully how you listen. Consider carefully how you listen. In Luke's gospel, we've just had the parable of the soils, and we're thinking about the word going out. And Jesus says, therefore, consider carefully how you listen. We need to listen. We need to listen well. Because listening is an act of faith. We've kind of seen that already. That is, as we hear God's voice, the faith response is to listen and obey. We ask, consider carefully how we listen. We are not to automatically assume that just because we've heard someone else talk before, we all know how to listen perfectly, because we're sinners. We don't listen perfectly. I've been really helped this week by this resource, Listen Up, a practical guide to listening to sermons. It is 32 pages long. It's not very long at all. It's pretty easy to read. There's case studies, there's questions. Chris Rash takes you through 7 different top tips for how to listen well to a sermon. Let me give you the first 2 headlines. He says, expect God to speak. Second, he says, admit God knows better than you. There are 5 more. Read that to find out. That could be the most valuable, beneficial £1.50 you ever spend. It's so cheap, so quick to read. But if that changes how we hear a sermon, if that means we are more attuned to God's voice, if we hear what he says and are able to put it into practice, if that helps us consider carefully how we listen, that seems like £1.50 well spent. And if you're not convinced it's £1.50 well spent, but you'll read it, tell me, and I'll spend the £1.50. Because I think it's brilliant. Because for lots of reasons, we need to recognize that listening isn't always easy. As you come into this building Sunday by Sunday, there will be loads of stuff going on in your heart, mind, and life. You know, this idea that we walk into church and suddenly all of our stresses and strains of life, we kind of somehow leave at the door, and then we come in here and we can perfectly conceal ourselves off from those things and listen apart from those things. That's obviously nonsense. That's not how the human works. Sometimes we come tired. That makes it harder to listen. Sometimes we come upset. That's going to make it harder to listen. Sometimes we come really struggling with sin. That's going to affect how we listen, and so on and so forth. And so we need to think, how can we, in the light of all those things, listen well? And say, I think that goes into a lot of that stuff in really great detail. It's really worth having, because we need to listen when God speaks. God speaks, we listen. Postscript, we speak too. I'm aware at this point so far, I have basically not talked about any other ways that we speak God's word to one another. They are all important. And later in the series, we're going to come back to a lot of those and how the picture of church is not kind of one person speaks, everyone hears, and then they go away. No, absolutely not. The picture of church is one that we hear God speak, and then we encourage one another, we teach one another, we rebuke one another, we correct one another, and on and on and on the list could go. And we're going to come back to a lot of those things in a future week. I just want to note now that as a postscript so you don't think that I think that those things aren't important. That's not what I'm saying. Today we're thinking about this question of preaching. Later we'll come back to those. But the pattern that God sets is God speaks, we listen, and then we speak. God speaks, we listen, and then we speak. We open our mouths in the light of what God has said to us so that it's not kind of us speaking from ourselves. Preaching matters. It's not the only word ministry in the life of the church. But it is a moment where God speaks and we are to listen. On your handouts is a quote that I think is a pretty useful summary of what I've been trying to edge us towards today. So if this isn't what you've got from today at all, ignore everything I've said and just read this quote. The proclamation of the word of God to the assembly of God's people is the special means by which God's people hear God address them from heaven. That is what goes on as we hear preaching, faithful preaching. The proclamation of the word of God to the assembly of God's people is the special means by which God's people hear God address them from heaven. 3 questions to discuss in your groups. They're the same 3 questions we finished with last week. That might happen a few times again through this series. What does that encourage us to pray? How can we best prepare for Sundays? How can we best engage on Sundays? Discuss those for 5 minutes or so. Great, I'm going to call us back. Another time for feedback. I've prattled on slightly too much. So, hopefully that's been helpful. Do keep talking about these things. We pray that this series will be really useful for us as we think about how to approach Sunday as well and pray for Sunday as well. Let me lead us in prayer, and we'll sing. Our Father in heaven, how gracious it is that you choose to speak to us. How gracious it is that you, our Father, choose to address us from heaven. You needn't have done that. And yet, in your grace, you choose to come near. So, Father, we just praise you that you would choose to speak and you would choose to use us to bring your voice to one another. And, Father, we pray that week by week we would consider carefully how we listen, that each of us would hear you addressing us from heaven and change to live more, to live lives that are more pleasing to you, that follow the pattern your Son set for us. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to stand and sing, Speak, O Lord. Classically, we'd sing that before a sermon. Let's sing it as a prayer towards our listening to sermons in the weeks to come. Let's pray in the light of what we've heard. Let's kind of use this as a prayer to respond to God, praying that he would indeed speak and that we would listen.